it's information, and he's all like, oh,
yeah.
Copying video games is not a victimless crime.
That's what I like about the line. If mom was here, she would believe me.
I like that he wasn't like, shut up, you brat. He was all like, yeah, she probably would have.
Yeah.
Because, I think that was pretty sweet.
Because his dad is like a real good dad.
Yeah. This is the part of my notes where it says, I only hear Jack Black every time they say Jack Flack.
I know. Could you?
Jack Flack sounds like Affleck.
Okay, so they remake this movie.
Yes.
They call it The Boy Cried Murder.
Yes.
And they have Jack Black playing Jack Flack. I want that. Which means that Jack Black would be the dad.
Yeah. And he'd be all like in the movie Bernie for when he was the dad, but then when he was like as Jack Black Flack, he'd be like, wee you.
Yeah. He would be like very reserved as the dad, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and be very out there as Jack Flack Black.
Yes.
Jack Black Flack. Flack 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 Flack.
He's a guess.
That's Kyle Gass.
Jumping Jack Flash.
it's Kyle Gass.
Yeah. Who would Kyle Gass be in this?
Oh. He could be the mastermind, the evil mastermind.
The doctor?
No.
No, he could be the old man.
He could be the old man. Like,
spoilers.
It's not a couple. It's just one guy. And he's an old guy. Yeah.
Like, or the game store manager.
I don't want him to be Morris because Morris.
We haven't told them that yet.
There's spoilers for every movie we do. Oh, I'll just bleep all that.
Please refer
out.
To really part to. 672 of this episode.
Oh.
Okay, so dad and him have kind of, they kind of come together a little bit.
Oh, he says, I hate you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. They're, so.
I hate you. And he turns around and he goes, I know you didn't mean that.
Yeah. And while we're watching it this last time, Naomi says, if I said I hate you, then my mom would say, well, I don't really like you in this moment either. And then Naomi said, and that hurt worse.
It would. Like, could you imagine if you're like, F- you, somebody's like, F- you, right? That's equal. That feels fine, right?
Right.
But if you're like, F- you, and somebody goes, that really hurt my feelings.
Or like their response is, I'm not very fond of you right now either.
Yeah, but you have to really like a person for it to like really sting.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of Finding Nemo at the point with the butt that needs to be touched right after. And Nemo's dad, it's like, you can't be going out there touching the butt. Go back home. And Neo says, I hate you. This is basically Finding Nemo.
But from Nemo's perspective.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you noticed in this room, there's a whole bunch of, this is very much a boys' room in the 80s stuff. There's like sports tacks all over the wall. There's, he's got a pile of figurines that he's playing with. He has, of course, his gaming system, but it's also got that weird floral wallpaper that we all couldn't escape in the 80s, but it was more Midwestern.
You'd almost expect Peter Falk to walk in and start reading a book to him.
Yeah, yeah. Or you'd expect or you'd expect David Bowie to show up and steal his little brother.
So one of those references is for a movie that we've done, The Princess Bride. Plotters, go watch. The other one is for The Labyrinth, which we haven't done.
We did Pan's Labyrinth.
It's
not the same thing.
And now we're going off on a tangent. Back to the movie.
Get ready for bed, Davey.
Well, before bed, his dad does take an interest in what he's trying to talk about. He does treat it with some sincerity, but it doesn't like lead anywhere.
Well, because he's like, this cartridge has it in there. This is what the guy died for. So he puts it in and it's just the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all like, you're just trying to play a game, which... to be fair, a clever child would do.
Mm-hmm.
No, let me show you this thing. It's very important. And then they just keep playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when his dad says, I'm taking these games out. And he takes like a bunch of, he takes one out that was like, what was the name of the
Blitzkrieg?
Game? Blitzkrieg. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he takes it out. And Davey says, if you would just play with me, you might enjoy it. And Davey's essentially saying, Dad, I want you to be involved.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do after the death of a spouse.
Yeah.
But then he goes into that whole I hate you thing, and his father's like super like understanding about it because he's dad of the year.
He really
and,
is.
Then the phone rings. Davey.
Like, yeah. Dad's getting his shoes off. So he's like, you get the phone.
Yeah. And so Davey picks up the phone and there's a guy on the voice like, is this David Osborne?
David G. Osborne.
David G. Osborne.
And he goes, yeah. Like, the answer is no. No. Wrong number. So sorry. No random grown man is calling you, Davey. Nobody you want to talk to. And they only knew his name because they found his baseball.
I would have said yes.
I would have said yes.
We'd like to talk to you about it. Your car's extended warranty.
I'd have been like, oh, no, let me grab him. And then I would have gotten the dad.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyways, he's like, ah, it's them. And then they hang up. So yeah, dad doesn't believe him.
Well, dad like gets to the phone and that's when you hear the click from the hang up.
Right. And so, he should have called the operator and asked who called the number last.
But that would make too much sense.
Yeah. Who called the phone, dad? Who called the phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been figured out right then and there. But that's not the point. The point of the story is to progress further on. And...
So true.
Don't you hate it when plot gets in the way?
I do like that in this scene. He's like, hey, dad, can I sleep with you tonight? And his dad's like, yeah. It's like healthy male bonding. And he's like, I just don't think they'll come and get me if you're around.
Right.
And whether or not you think somebody's fears are founded, if someone says this is how I will find comfort and you can give it to them, do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was it was night and then it was day moment transition.
So I really like that transition because they could have very easily set up a camera and blocked off just like on either side of that house. Mm-hmm. And then they just show like it being night and then it transitioning into day.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Like, why aren't there more shots like that? That's a practical effect. You don't need to, you know, that no CGI required.
And we have dad come out of the house to his cute little red sports car thing, it looks like. And Davey comes out. He's like, where are you going? He's like, I have to do a double shift. I get this big inspection coming up, but I called the doctor and you're going to have an appointment tomorrow. And hey, I have the day off, so like I can go with you. Mm-hmm. And it'll be great. And I was like, remember being left home all day as like an early preteeny person?
Yeah.
That's gone now.
Yeah.
Now we don't leave anybody younger than like
13.
14.
14?
I mean, I might have a nephew or niece or godchild who doesn't get left alone in their mid to late teens now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's weird. I remember being left alone a lot. Not a lot. Not like a neglectful amount, but like I had working parents, you know? And
yeah. I'm trying to remember when I was like first really left alone. And I want to say that I was probably like a teenager, but there was always like a full house. So it was really odd for like my parents to be out and my sisters to be out. Mm-hmm. And I'm the youngest, so like there was always someone hanging around. But like I mean both had working parents, and sometimes my parents were of the temperament that if I was so young and they had work to do, they would not leave me alone. They would just take me with them because they also knew that I would behave. So
that changes a lot. That makes that makes life a lot easier.
I could see why his dad wouldn't want to take him to work, even though Davey was like, can I go to work with you today?
Oh.
That would have been, yeah, but like, I can see why his dad would be a little bit more cautious because of Davey's temperament.
But he leaves anyway. And so we go to Davey calling Kim, and he's all, I think they're coming to get me. You should come over. I'm in trouble. And she's all like, I'm eating breakfast right now. I'll have to call you back.
And that's her mom is like, tell him that you're eating breakfast and you'll have to call him later.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's good parenting as far as I'm concerned. And then she sits down and she like asks her some questions. And then she's like, what's his dad like?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the questions lead up to this is, doesn't this bother you? And Kim's like, no, he's the only interesting boy. He's the only boy in the neighborhood who isn't boring. Mm-hmm. And then her mother says, did I teach you that? And Kim just shrugs. And then they get to talking about his dad. And like, Kim's mom is definitely interested. And
trust me, mom, he's not your type.
How would you know what my type is?
He's in the military. He's in the army or something.
Oh. literally how she says it.
The delivery is so good in that part. I know. It's the best joke, I feel like.
Yeah. It's also a really nice scene just to have the two of them kind of talking because, like, you can see. So, you know the term latchkey kids?
Oh, I was one, for sure.
Like, there's this whole, like, aspect of the movies that reinforces that. Like, you could say it's with the Goonies, but I feel like they try and give reason as to why the parents aren't around. But in this movie, the parents are definitely around.
Yeah, it's just their work.
They're single and they have to work, and that is, like, a reality of, you know, if you're listening to this at 1,000 years in the future, hey, this is the year 2023. And, like, that was an aspect of capitalism and single parenting, because we don't support single parents in our society.
So just remember to enjoy your communal pods and your communism.
Or, you know, your communities of raising kids and maybe still allowing for individuals to thrive as individuals.
Or these radio signals just echo across the scorched earth that was once inhabited by our ancestors.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm glad that Davy's dad does get a military stipend for housing, because as a single parent, that would be difficult to pay for wherever they're staying. But especially now, like, it is incredibly difficult to be, like, just to pay for housing without a secondary income.
Like, I think it's so funny that Kim nipped the parent trap edge right in the bud. She was like, nope, this isn't about us. Our parents getting together.
Yeah, I know. So then who shows up at Davy's home? Is it Kim? Nope. It's the baddies.
Who freaking knocks for a home invasion?
Polite bad guys?
By definition. A polite bad guy. Yeah. I mean, like, a lawful evil, I suppose.
They could also be knocking to see if there's any adults in the home.
That's true.
Yeah. Or maybe Davy, I mean, like, they don't know that Davy is not expecting Kim. But they, I mean, would they have, they wouldn't have seen the radios. So, I don't know. Maybe they just are just sussing it out, seeing if someone's going to, you know, show up.
Well, they were watching the house to make sure the dad went away.
Right, but there could be, like, you know, maybe they missed someone who came in through the back, or, like, a cleaner.
No idea. That's probably why they had to knock.
Yeah.
Okay, so I call this scene the Home Alone Hulk smash.
Mm-hmm.
Big, bulky Tom Selleck.
We only call him tracksuit guy. Anyways, okay, so there's a knock at the door. He can't see through the peephole, so he sees, like, feet underneath the door, which is weird because it's an outside door and it should be flush to keep in the heat. But, or keeping the cold. It's Texas. Who's to say? And then he goes to the window. He pulls down the slats. The baseball comes through, lands on the floor. He's all like, ah, there's crashing through the windows. He runs through the house. Someone crashes through the back door. And on it goes.
Right. And he ends up making an escape.
Mm-hmm.
And where's the first place he's going to go to? His dad isn't going to listen to him.
No.
He can't go over to Kim because she's pretty much blocked him. So who else does he have but Morris? And it's so as he's walking through the mall, he's talking to Jack Flack. But it's a really good scene because you see the bystanders seeing, like, looking at the kid, like, all weird, like, and then, like, towards the end of the scene, you see Davy without Jack Flack just talking to himself, and the people around him are still, you know, looking at him funny.
Yeah, the camera pivots with, it starts with them walking together, it turns a blind corner, and then Davy continues to walk, but Flack isn't there anymore. And then he's just like, yeah, okay, if you say so, as he walks into the store. And people are like, the hell is wrong with this kid?
So Davy goes and talks to Morris, and Morris is playing on his video game, and Davy's all like, Morris, you take a look at this. And he just throws down the cartridge, and Morris is like, what do you want me to do with it? He's like, I don't know. You're the genius. You tell me. And then Morris is like, oh, you flattered my ego. I will go ahead and open up this cartridge.
He opens it up. He sees an extra microchip. He's like, what is this? And so he, like, the good guy, he is the best guy in the entire film, if my opinion is.
Valid.
Yeah. He plugs it in. He starts to work it. Davy gets a click on his walkie-talkie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's Kim. She's like, Davy, are you there? Come in, Davy, or whatever. And she's like, are you alone? And he takes the walkie-talkie and he walks away with it. And he's like, Kim, where are you? And she's like, I'm at your house. And he's all like, no, they're there. They're waiting for me there. You got to get away. And then, like, there's a pause. And then it's like the dude.
Yeah. The same guy on the phone.
It sounds like we both have something we both want. And he's like, I think we do.
Yeah.
And I call this scene Kimnapped. Do you know where the sunken garden is?
Yeah.
And he's like, meet me there at 12.
So Davey is thinking about what to do next. Mm-hmm. And Jack Flack comes up and he's like, you don't want to give him the actual cartridge. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, what else can I do? And Jack's like, taps, tap, tappy, tappy on this cartridge right here. And he's like, I can't take that. That's stealing. And Jack, justifies it by saying it's confiscating necessary equipment.
Yeah.
And so Davey takes it, leaves Morris to play this game. Davey,
who is like entrenched. He's just like not even there anymore.
Right. Morris is on like level 35 when he puts the game in. And there was a code that was also given for like 1,329,000,
Yeah, he did mention that was the code that he was looking for.
Right. And then Davey takes the cloak and dagger from the store.
Yeah, he goes all the way to the park before he unwraps the box and then throws away the garbage at the park.
Okay, so while that doesn't make any sense in reality, like the way that it's shot is very satisfying
to watch. That is correct. They paid a lot of attention to just dynamics of this scene because they were playing a lot with the heights and the depths. Mm-hmm. And so they he's walking like unsuredly through. He looks down into these beautiful garden. 10 out of 10 would visit. And he's like looking around and a guy steps out from under a tree and they make eye contact and then they start walking towards each other. And as the man approaches Davey goes, that's far enough.
Yeah.
When they're about 8-10 feet apart. And they begin this exchange of it's this banter. He's like, they confirm that Kim is there and he's like, come any closer. And he holds... They're on a bridge. He's holding the cartridge over the edge and he's like, come any closer and you're going to be diving for it. And then he looks up and they're holding Kim over the edge of a cliff.
Yeah. Just like, you know, we could drop something too, bud.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he's like, we need to make these shit. The guy's like, we need to make the exchange. We know this guy is Dr. Rice and
Mr. Rice. He's not technically a doctor in this. And when we watched it earlier, the captions say Mr. Rice. I don't think he's a doctor.
Oh,
yeah. Because that's why my notes were in there, too, because another doctor douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
We got one every year. This is our one for the year. But he feels very much like a doctor, but I believe
because he was wearing a lab coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways,
we can blame that on tectonics.
Tektronics.
Ugh, 80s names for electric stuff is just not my bag. Oh, and if you ever want to have a really interesting conversation, have Sean explain to you why laser is spelled with an S. I love you, Sean. I don't remember that conversation except for that you know
right
why it's an S. It's an acronym. I remember that.
Jen, is there a Sean fact in this moment?
Oh, we keep we keep calling this game a cartridge, but have you noticed that the movie doesn't call this a cartridge? What does it call it instead?
A cassette? A cassette.
I think that would be close enough. It's a tape.
Tape, yeah.
And this may have been due to the screenwriter's unfamiliarity with video games, but at the time, 1984, many home computers could load games and programs from cassette tapes. I had quite a few Commodore 64 tapes as well as cartridges. Mm-hmm. You could plug in a cartridge to the back, but you could also plug in a connector for a tape drive.
Maggie had a Teddy Ruxpin I was pretty jealous of.
Oh, heck yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the tape continues to be an incredibly versatile medium for storage because it's not just data that you can store on there, but directions, instructions, that are underlying for the data. So like with the Teddy Ruxpin thing, you'd have like the top half of it be audio, but the bottom half of it would be instructions for when he would move his mouth.
Right. So it would have the audio for the things that he was going to say, but it would also have the programming on the other side.
Well, not even like the other side of the tape, but like even on the one side, you could be reading different things on the top half of the tape and the bottom half of the tape. And then you could flip it over and still have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So just, and it's really the safest mass storage medium in data.
So Davey holds the cartridge over the water and be like, it'd be a shame if this got all wet. You might have to die for it. And then they put Kim over and be like, see, we can do this game too. And then he's like, okay. So he puts it back and they put Kim back. And then he's like, why do you want this? This is a kid's game. He's like, oh, maybe I'm just a kid at heart. And be like, you know, you could just buy it. It's not that expensive. Don't try and outsmart me, kid. And be like, okay.
I need to get that exposit randomly. I need to get that to somebody by 5:30 today.
Yeah. Like, okay. Why are you telling the kid this information?
Because it's 12 noon and we need a timeline.
Also, this guy is not espionage material because he gives out information that does not need to be given out.
So much of that happens in this next three pages of notes.
With the bad guys, specifically.
Yeah, they're all terrible bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Or they're all really good bad guys. Well-written bad guys is what I mean.
All right, whatevs. So Davey says, you got to give me Kim first. And so they set her down, and we see them walking. And then, like, he holds out the game, The guy goes to take the game, and Danny backs up a little bit. Guy lunges. Mm-hmm. And Danny says, pulls out his gun. He says, stand back or something like that, or I'll shoot. And the guy's like, oh, are you going to shoot me? Right? And then he does.
Because, yeah. Like, what if that was an actual gun?
I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looks like a gun. Mm-hmm. And the blood that comes out of it, it looks really good. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like good fake blood. Yeah. And the guy's like, what? And, like, he dabs his face. And he stands there long enough to pull out a tissue or a handkerchief and starts dabbing at his face before he's like, get him!
Right. And then Davey and Kim make a mad dash for it. Mm-hmm. And that's when we get into what my notes call chase, bus, boat, bad older couple.
I call it run, Davey, run. Yours is better.
Right. So Kim and Davey get onto a bus and they think they're safe and everything, but they see a van coming. And Davey's like, oh, no, they don't know where. I'm the only one who knows where the real cartridge is. But they know where the cartridge is because on the back of the fake one, there was a sticker that said where to find it.
Yeah. They're radioing back and forth. Bad guys. All right, I'm going to go get the cartridge. You get those guys.
Right.
Before they get in the van, though, like the kids get to the bus. And then the guys run up right after and, like, slap the bus. And although I've seen people, like, get denied entry in, like, L.A. for, mm-hmm. like, showing up just as the doors close, I can't imagine in 84 somebody showing up and being like, ah!
Right, at a bus and being denied access.
Yeah.
Right. What I thought was interesting about the bus driver is when Davey is all like, I got to get off because I'm going to get sick. And then the bus driver like pulls over. Davey
he doesn't even
out.
Pull over. He slows down.
He slows down, but Davey jumps out.
Uh-huh.
And then the van like almost hits Davey in front of the bus driver. And the bus driver's not doing
Nope.
Like they're it's a kid. Like the kid's obviously running, and then like you know that this kid is with this other kid, and you could just be like, okay, other kid, what's going on? And then I don't know, call the police and go back to their place. That call their parents.
You know what I'd rather do, Lydia? Go to the worst scene of this movie. Let's go back to the game store.
Oh yeah.
So Morris is playing the game. He's very intense, his little Coke bottle glasses, his little gap tooth, his little fat, chubby, little adorable. Like, I would, Jen, I'm so sorry, I would date Morris. I love him so much. Would you date Morris?
Oh, yeah. It's like that SNL skit that happened like 2 weeks ago from when we were recording with the large men for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It was Big Boys. It was a song that was done by SZA. And Kiki Palmer was on there. And they were like, you know, you got to get yourself a big boy because we're getting into the winter months.
There is nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Anyways, he doesn't look like he'd smell bad, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, he likes Twinkies. I like Twinkies. We already got something in common.
Yeah. He's good with kids. He, you know.
But also equally ignoring kids, which mm-hmm. I'm also a fan of.
Right. He is like the right kind of attention he gives to kids.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's interested in gaming.
Mm-hmm. He's got a hobby and a job.
Yeah.
He's combined a passion and a job.
His kids, you know, his friends are like 15 years younger than him. But, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to make friends.
And that's the demographic you need at a game store.
Yeah.
Like, obviously.
Yeah. How much you want to bet Morris is like, hey, kids, I'll let you hang out here, but you got to, you know, make sure you peddle some of the product.
Well, look, no, but look, like Davey's got a full on Atari in his room. Mm-hmm. His dad confiscated like six board games that were like just out in the open, nothing in the closet or whatever. And all those figurines, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Kim is obviously interested in this sort of stuff. It doesn't, she's not bored by it.
And when he mentions Morris to his dad is obviously familiar. Like, mm-hmm. it's not an unknown entity to him.
Right.
So, like, this is a, yeah, it's a family business, mm-hmm. business for families. But
that doesn't last.
No. He hears the bell behind him. He's intently playing the game. You see his numbers going up. You see him beating levels. He's like, I'll be there in a minute. Right. And he continues and he continues. He finishes a level. You see his score go up to 80, 90, 100,000. Like, and then it reaches 1 million. And then 1,300,000. 329. And then the machine goes, boop. And what comes up is specs. Like, U.S. government accessing blah, blah, blah. Like, there's no internet. This is all just static data or mm-hmm. whatever. Jen can correct me on that. But it's information. And he's all like, oh,
yeah.
Copying video games is not a victimless crime.
You know, there is the intro in front of this movie that's like $250,000 if you copy your...
Yeah.
And you can get this movie on archive.org.
So you don't have to rent it.
We paid.
Yeah, you get it at 480p, so yeah. don't expect much if you right. watch it that way.
Right. But essentially, the cartridge is holding government secrets, and as we're seeing this information, that's when we see someone come up from behind Morris.
He turns around.
Turns around, and we hear a gunshot.
He goes, hey, I told you I'd be there in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And now the movie can be over because I'm done with it.
I do have a... This didn't make it into the Sean facts, but... When the monitor is displaying some of the details, it's an aircraft that is shown on there. And it turns out that the details of that aircraft look very, very similar to the stealth bomber, which the public didn't know about for like 2 more years. So wow. Makes you kind of wonder makes if like wonder. This was a leak, you know, this whole movie was just a leak to let somebody know about the stealth bomber.
So instead of putting government secrets onto a cartridge that would be sent to kids, you're just showing it in a movie. And then spies are watching that movie and they're like, oh, okay, I see what's going
all
on.
All of those Hollywood Russian...
elitists.
Yeah.
That are also aliens.
The McCarthys.
Space lasers.
This did come out during, I mean, the Star Wars, not like Star Wars, but mm-hmm. came out during that time.
But Star Wars is an entire, I mean, it's obviously about how communism is going to take over and destroy America. Obviously, you know, again, liberal elites in Hollywood. Sorry, am I getting too real for you? You look so sad.
She's just sad about Morris.
I really did spiral for a second, and I didn't listen to your monkey lasers, whatever thing.
Okay. Scene change. We go back to the chase.
Mm-hmm.
And Davey is hiding underneath the table.
Yeah, I hate this part because he's all like, he crawls under the table at this busy cafe because they cannot whoosh whoosh shoot him in public, right? Mm-hmm. So he's trying to hide and he dives under the table. The couple bends down. They're like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm being followed. Please help me. Call the FBI. And the guy's like, oh, I'll do it. Herbert Hoover, blah, 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 blah. And like, they refuse to help him. They just feel interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it was a game, if a kid who wasn't like, I mean, if a kid came up and was like playing with you, like, or playing around you.
Right.
Like, the idea of turning to that kid and being like, you're being a total jerk right now. Mm-hmm. Without that kid, like, expressly trying to be a little jerk right then.
Whenever I see a youngin'
uh-huh.
who is in public
uh-huh.
and they're not around an adult,
uh-huh.
I'm automatically making sure that I check that kid to make sure that maybe their parents are like I was at the Winco a few weeks ago, and there was like this little like 3-year-old who was running around, and I'm like, I don't see any parents. And so I don't panic, right. but I just kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And around the corner where the meat section is, I saw the kid walking with his family that was very obviously his family.
Yeah.
But it was one of those moments where I was like, do I need to ask where this kid's parents are? I mean,
yeah.
Or just do I stop and keep an eye on him?
Yeah.
And I just stopped and kept an eye on him because it's like, you know, kids, unsupervised children make me worried because I don't want anything bad to happen.
Because they're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable.
Okay, statistically, when you're talking to a kid, by the way, about safety. Now, here's the thing. I try to keep my privilege in check, right? And try to bring it up in conversation so that I am consciously aware with who I'm talking to that I am like keeping it in check so I'm not like stepping on people who might otherwise be stepped on by me or society or any combination thereof, right? But one thing that doesn't suck about being a middle-aged white woman is that I societally have been given permission to help a child who's in trouble. Mm-hmm. So if I see a child in trouble, visually distressed, physically distressed, I have maybe not carte blanche and definitely, like you said, aware of the surroundings. Like I'm not trying to invade someone else's space or their provision of care to that child, especially if they are closer to that child, obviously. Like I'm a stranger. Like what's a stranger's privilege here? But I can be like, are you lost? Mm-hmm. I can help you.
Right.
Are you hurt? I can help you. I am a safe person to stand near. I will use full care to help you, right? So, and that being said, like I have been in the care of children. So like if I see a kid who's obviously distressed, a truly distressed child is different than a child playing. And if you know kids, that is apparent.
Right.
And so like if this kid was under the table, I'd be like, oh man, are you okay?
Especially one who's like maybe 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Like that is a kid you can communicate with.
Yeah. Where is your parent?
Yeah.
Can I help you get to your parent?
Right.
Do you need something stronger than that? You need a police officer? I will get you to a police officer.
Right. A kid is saying, I need to go to the FBI. Then it's like, okay, we need to take this seriously. Because even if that kid is playing, it is still a kid who is in a vulnerable situation.
Right.
And authorities need, or like someone in a position of authority needs to be talked to.
Full on. Full on.
Right.
But they are dismissive and rude, and he was just seeking help. And
right.
Like, dude, I'd let him sit under the table. I'd be like, okay, as far as we're concerned, you're not here right now.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Even just that much. Instead, they're like, get out of here.
Essentially.
And then we have the next scene, which makes absolutely no sense.
Right. And it goes into the next scene where he's talking to Jack Flack. And Jack is like, oh, you got to stay out in public because mm-hmm. they're not going to be able to. He sees like the two guys. You got the tracksuit guy, mm-hmm. but then you got the shorter guy who.
Alvarez. It's a name. I know his name.
Tracksuit guy and Alvarez.
Yeah, sorry. That's how my brain works.
That's okay. And so Jack Flack tells him, you got to make sure you stay out of, you want to stay in public because they're less likely to shoot you or hurt you if other people are around. Mm-hmm. And so Davey gets a ticket for a boat that's like touring around in a river.
Yeah.
And they end up catching up to him. They try and get.
They try to get on.
Yeah.
One guy's like, go wait in line while you get tickets. And he guys tries to step closer to mm-hmm. Davey. And this guy goes, hey, wait your turn.
Yeah.
Like his trucker cap and his beard. He's like, hey, wait your turn.
Yeah.
And it works. The guy goes to the back of the line.
When Davey's buying his ticket for the riverboat ride, the cash register ringing and the sound of coins are the same ones used in the Pink Floyd song, Money.
Money.
Nice.
It does sound like that. I mean, I'm not debating you. I'm
just, right.
Yeah.
And so Davey gets onto the boat. Some other people get on before Alvarez and Tracksuit Guy. Mm-hmm. And so they get stopped. They can't get onto the
pull
onto
up.
The
You'll have to wait 10 to 15 minutes for the next boat.
Right. And so Davey's like, oh, it's at ease. But then this lady is like, I've lost my wallet. And they're like, it's okay. We're going to go ahead and track. So now they got two open spots.
I think it would have been clever if they had stolen her wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen, right?
I didn't see anything.
Not
that
in the
happened.
Watches I did. Mm-hmm. But I wish it was there.
I wish it was.
Yeah.
It'll be in the remake.
Yes, Jack Black, make it happen.
Yeah. So while Davey is on the boat, mm-hmm. he like picks up and moves to a different spot.
Yeah, it's kind of like Frogger.
Yeah.
On the boat. He's like switching seats, like trying to get away from the guy.
Yeah. But then there's Alvarez says, make a distraction and I'll go ahead and kill the kid. And he's like, what do you want me to do? I was like, I don't care so long as they're not looking at me. But then they are. But then like Alvarez picks up and he tries to get closer to Davey, who's inching away from him.
And everybody's looking at him.
And here is where I have my note. If I found a grown man following a kid, I'm going to make everyone aware of it. I'd be like, hey, you guy, you're trying to get closer to that kid. Kid, is that do you know him? You don't know him? Okay, guess what? Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah. Watch a kid getting predated on.
Yeah, and then not doing anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
it could have helped if Danny had been taught to be like, I don't know you.
Stay away from me.
Right. To be fair, like there's a couple making out on the boat. And if I was making out on the boat, I would be super distracted.
Yeah.
But then I wouldn't be distracted because there would be a guy who would come in between us, and I would have just yeeted him off the boat at that point because he got in the way of my making out.
It's true. I've been part of a couple that makes out on public transport, and it is uncomfortable in retrospect.
Yeah. PDA is like one of those weird areas where you're like,
I'm so glad I'm over it. At the time, it was very exciting. So glad to be done with it.
Well,
I'll turn to Jen now. This is one of my favorite cute things that we do. We'll be like at a function or we'll be out in public, and I'll turn to Jen and I'll be like, want to make out? And Jen will go, yeah. And then we have like this really little kiss, like just a little, like a cheek kiss, or even just like the tiniest little peck on our lips. And then we're done.
As a single woman who hopes to not be single in the near future, I cannot wait until I get to make out in public.
Okay. Okay.
I will be that cringe.
That'll be the weirdest double date, but I am there for it. I'll cause a distraction and then shiv the little boy in the next seat.
The engine's on fire.
That's what the guy does. He just stands up. There's no smoke. There's no fire. Everyone runs like they hadn't watched Titanic.
Right.
Because I hadn't watched Titanic.
Because it was like a decade out.
Yeah.
Well, sure, that version. There were lots of Titanic movies before this.
Right. Before the distraction, yes. Davey does get pulled aside by a couple. And I was like, yeah, bad older couple who's like, maybe they are like secret espionage.
I put down spy couple in my first set of notes.
I wanted them to be spy couple so hard. Yeah. Maybe they are going
maybe
to be.
Maybe they are spy couple.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah.
Okay, so guy says fire, like they run with the crowd, so like I don't know why that happened, but like guy lunges, gets his switchblade stuck in the boat. Davey jumps off the boat onto a paddle boat that just happens to be next to him because there's like 3-4 feet between his boat and the shore. Mm-hmm. Runs across the paddle boat, runs up a hill onto some steps, and is away.
Escape. And then where is he going to go? Where's the next safest place to go? Back to Morris's.
I do like that one guy yelled at him, was like the guys that were still on the boat, and he's like, quit rocking the boat.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't rock the boat, baby.
I like how he was like, you're ruining this for everybody else. And everybody else is like, yeah.
Yeah, they do all say it in unison. So dumb. Hey, my notes now go, remember malls?
No. So
Davey does, because he goes right back there. He goes into the store, and then they're swinging swinging controllers, and a screen is like flipping, and he's just like, Morris?
And he hears someone maybe crying in the back. It's Kim. She sees the bullet hole in the monitor.
Yeah.
There's no blood.
No. She's like, I think he's already dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Davey is hopeful. He's like, no, Morris is too smart for that.
So you go tell your mom to call the cops, because why not? Because trying to call the cops / any authority figures has worked so far. And he goes to try to find Mr. Rice, because he's going to leave soon to go to the 5:30 appointment somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know where, so he has to follow Mr. Rice.
Right. So he goes back to the building where the first murder had happened.
Yes. Labeled parking spaces.
God.
They're only numbered. Nowadays, you just number it, because then you can be spot 25 and then Stalker McGee cannot find you and stab you in the throat.
Right. But this is the 80s.
So
we have a spot specifically labeled for Rice. And
then remember that Flack is like talking to him the entire time.
Right. Like before they get into the building, Flack is like, oh, just cross the road. They're
waiting
not going
to
be
the light to change.
What are they going to do? Hit you? And it's like, they're not going to be able to hurt you. And I'm like, yeah, guy, because you're imaginary. And then but Davey does like illegally cross the street in that very like kid kind of way where you're like tentatively doing it. Like when you're jaywalking as an adult, you're just sort of like making a beeline for it.
Yeah.
But you have more confidence. With a kid, it's sort of like, am I allowed?
Yeah.
Am I gonna do this? Gonna do this?
Future roadkill style.
Yeah.
So he
he opens up the trunk of Rice's car.
And we see
a dead Morris.
And 8 heads in a duffel bag.
And the security walks by and does not care.
I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your love pass you by. I don't remember how the song is.
I'm weeping for my loss of Morris's. Jen was referencing the Heads in the Duffel Bag episode if you want to go listen to that. But Lydia was singing the song of my heart because Morris is super dead.
So let's do the smartest thing possible as a kid.
Yeah. You know what I would super do as a 10-year-old kid upon seeing my first dead body?
Scream?
No.
No?
Climb in with it, baby. Let's go for a ride. Fleck is like, here he comes. You got to get in there. And he's like, what? Here? And then, like, he's basically shoved by his own imagination into the trunk.
Yeah.
Who then climbs in the trunk with them. So two grown men, one dead, one imaginary, and one tiny little boy rolling around. Lydia! Lydia!
You can only do that so many times.
Jen!
Pitch! Oh, Rocky!
Morris!
Okay, if Morris had made it to the end, wouldn't you have loved it that much more?
Yes.
And then Davy's dad could hook up with Morris. Plot twist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Two dads, my two dads.
Yes. I'm here for it.
He knows how to play, remember?
We'll save it for the remake.
Morris visits him as a ghost inside of video games.
Who plays the dad? Okay, wait. That means Jack Black and Kyle Gass would be together romantically if they were.
Yeah, because Kyle Gass should play Morris.
Yeah, because, okay, I'm cool with Kyle Gass being Morris if Morris makes it to the end.
Yes. If Kyle Gass plays Morris and Morris doesn't make it,
You can put some throwaway actor on it.
Right.
Somebody I don't care about.
Like, I don't know, Jonah Hill?
I like Jonah Hill.
Okay.
But maybe someone I like slightly. I don't know. Throwaway actors.
Like,
If he dies, it could be Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of the guy who did the voice of Hiccup.
Oh, yeah. White Bread, what's his face?
Yeah.
The Mac guy.
Yeah. I like the idea. Yeah. I mean.
Wasn't he that guy?
We could get Justin Long.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. The trunk is open, but there are no lights on in the car. I mean, when your trunk is open, don't you have an indicator light? He's just holding it closed a little bit.
Well, yeah, this is also in the 80s. Would there be an? I mean, I would think that there would be an indicator because there's also a phone in the car.
It's a fancy enough car.
It seems like that would be something that would come up.
Okay, so they pull up to the Alamo where they do a whole what's the word we always use?
The exposition.
Station.
The exposition train is coming, or the train's coming into Exposition Station. Woo, woo.
God, it's been so long since we did that. Okay, so they come up and they're like, oh, we're meeting somebody at 5:30. I'm going to make the drop. What do you know about this guy? Only that he's missing like two fingers on his hand.
I don't know who we're dropping it off to, but I hear they're pretty bad.
Yeah. And then somehow he makes the escape. He opens up the trunk and he just lets it fly open. The guy's like, oh, shit. He jumps out of the car. Davy gets like around and behind something. I think it's the cart behind him. And then the guy he looks around, which makes me mad because he's like super observant, but he doesn't want he slowly closes the trunk that has an obvious dead body in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to the front of a horse that's parked directly behind him. And the horse goes.
And then Davy pops out from him.
Yeah, after he goes and gets back in the car.
Right.
And then he runs straight for the Alamo across the lawn.
Thank you, Applauder, for being our secret squirrel through part two of our review of 1984's Cloak and Dagger. There's still 1 week left until we complete our mission, with the final part of our walkthrough along with our super secret shocked and applaudable moments. Interested in more movie discussions while we establish comm links for part three? Front Face Lock podcast just released their discussion on Disney's The Mighty Ducks. And Cinema Recall recently joined Jacked Up Review to discuss David Cronenberg's adaptation of The Fly. You'll find links to these episodes in this release's description. Hey, this is your audio engineer and someone who has survived visiting the Alamo as a child, Jen. Are you willing to take a stand and defend our glory by participating in some innocent online banter? Why not leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser.com, or on our website at shockedandapplaud.com? We'll even read your review in a future episode. We'll return for our final piece of this children's action thriller next week. From Shot and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.